This crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like that kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller! You can't stop him! How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands.
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight. Here means Grounie Stadium, St. John Fisher College, where the temperature is cooled off to about 86 degrees. The sun beginning to set over the west, over the rim of the stadium. We are here. The Bills are going to have a walkthrough in about 30, 35 minutes or so. They might do it right in front of us here at Grounie Stadium. If you hear my voice get hushed like I'm on the 13th green at Augusta National, that's because players are now out on the field, but they're not there yet. Thanks for tuning in tonight. It's been 3 days of practices here at St. John Fisher College. Two of those days witnessed by our next guest. He is an NFL reporter and analyst for the NFL Network. You see him on NFL AM, and he wrapped up 2 days of coverage here at Fisher covering the Bills. Steve Weitz joins us tonight. Steve, thank you for being with us tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I've read about and I've heard you talk about your magical mystery tour of training camps around the NFL. Where are you now, or where are you headed anyway?
I can't disclose that information. We've got a segment in one called Where's White? It's kind of a ripoff of the Where's Matt Lauer from the Today Show.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to be in like 12 different cities over the next 14 days. I will say at some point I will be in Canton for the Hall of Fame, so I can tip that.
Okay.
So I might see you there for that. But no, we got to keep the rest of this a secret. We got to keep the viewers locked in. All five of them who follow me.
Hey, you were the Bills anyway that were the beneficiaries of being the first team to get the camp early in terms of national exposure with the ESPN crew here, the NFL Network crew, including yourself here. And that's the benefit, I guess, of starting early. Would they merit that kind of attention without that, Steve? Are the Bills that interesting, do you think, to most of the country?
You know, I think to a lot of people the Bills are, because I think people see them as a talented and competitive team. However, you know, when it comes to, in the business that we're in, moving the meter, you know, you can kind of lump the Bills, the Jags, the Chiefs, a couple teams, you know, kind of group them in there that, you know, networks and media outlets just don't necessarily pay attention to, because nationally they don't drive them. I mean, you talk, I mean, for years the Seahawks were one of those teams.
Yep.
Now they won the Super Bowl, so teams are following, so people are following them. But, you know, it's the Cowboys, it's the Redskins, it's the Patriots, it's teams like that that really garner the attention. And for those diehard regional fans who say, hey, how come you don't care about us? As you know, in our business, it's about ratings. And if you sit there and try and beat them over the head with the Jags, the Bills, things like that, the national specter just isn't there until those teams win. You know, or they do something like draft Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah. Well, the Bills are in a 14-year playoff drought, and I was impressed, and you may have talked to some players about this issue as well, Steve, when you were here. These players don't feel sorry for themselves about not getting a lot of media attention or a lot of respect when it comes to preseason predictions. They say, we haven't earned it. I think that's probably the right attitude to have.
It is the right attitude. And, you know, for years, you know, when I worked in Atlanta, I covered the NFC South. And as good as a lot of those teams were, you know, back when Tampa Bay was winning, back when it was like the old worst to first, you know, the Panthers, but they got to a Super Bowl. You know, they still didn't garner the attention. They always said, you know, we really haven't earned it. We haven't been consistent, you know, to drive that, you know, to drive that media meter, to drive that national attention meter. You know, it's a refreshing attitude to say that we have to earn it. But what you find as a member of the media, especially someone with a national network, is it's not just doing it once. You know, you've got to sustain it. You know, if the Seahawks all of a sudden fall off the map this season, they're going to go back to where they were. So it's just a very weird thing in a national consciousness how we can continue to follow an 8-8 Cowboys team.
Mm-hmm.
America's team, and they move the meter, or a Redskins team that's all over the place. yet, you know, you can't find, you know, you just don't find the national interest in certain teams with a great storyline. I think the Bills have plenty of them this year, you know, with the drafting of Sammy Watkins, with, you know, a guy like Brandon Spike and the Patriots coming over and Jim Schwartz coaching the defense. But it's just not going to get the type of media attention that that some of the other franchises do.
Steve White's our guest from the NFL Network, NFL AM. And, Steve, this morning here at Pittsburgh, here at Bills Camp, you were on the air when the Bills actually practiced, so they teed it up for you. But I wondered if you probably did notice there were not a whole lot of highlight reel plays, especially by the Buffalo offense in today's workout.
Yeah, it was all about the defense today. And, you know, early in training camp, this tends to be how it goes because, you know, offenses tend to tweak what they do in defense. You're aggressive. I mean, the defense has been getting torn to shreds all offseason because you can't hit, you can't check the receivers. So all the offensive players look great in these mini camps and things like this. It goes back forever. I like to call them my mini camp all pros because there's so many guys who look fast and catch the ball and make the spectacular plays until the pads come on. So defensive players are like, we're sick of getting beaten up on all offseason, so it was the first time to really go out there and show some aggression. But in terms of the offense, it's clear there are communication issues. You know, you saw one play where E.J. Manuel threw like a long sideline route, and Sammy Watkins broke off a route on about a 15-yard kind of curl to the sideline. Well, they've got to figure that out.
Yep.
There were two or three times when a free rusher came and would have sacked the quarterback. So there was a protection breakdown in terms of it, more so communication and a lack of effort because nobody would pick up this free rusher. You'll notice the next time they get a pad, if not tomorrow, those will be fixed. I mean, those are film session things. Those will be fixed. Some butts will be chewed. Some guys will go back and study their playbooks, and that won't happen again.
Well, you make an important distinction, Steve, and I know you were there for E.J. Manuel's session with the media today and Doug Marrone, but Manuel was asked about underthrows. I didn't see those as underthrows. They were, as you said, miscommunications, most of those misfires on the offensive side of the ball, right?
Yeah, and again, that's an unfortunate aspect of the business that we're in is some folks will see a pass that skips on the ground and assume it's an underthrow,
yeah.
Where maybe the receiver should have broken off the route at 5 yards instead of seven, and the quarterback is expecting that. He makes a throw. Now, the quarterback's got to be better. The quarterback, especially a big guy like E.J. Manuel, has to see that something is there instead of putting the ball necessarily into place. But, you know, the one thing E.J. Manuel, you know, the thing that you hear about him, he's got to anticipate better. And I see it sometimes. You know, in the 2 days I was here, he waits till the receiver gets open before he throws it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, that's on E.J. Manuel, because maybe the receiver was supposed to break off the route at a different distance or at a different time than when he threw it. And this is why, as a good member of the media, you talk to the coaches, you talk to the players, you ask them exactly what happens. Hey, were you in man coverage, or was that like a cover two, or you're passing someone off along the safety? You know, you always, you know, if you're a good and fair journalist, you make that assumption, and that's how come I think the question was asked about the underthrows. He said, no, there weren't underthrows, a lack of communication. It's a good job by a journalist trying to get the real fair story of what happened there before somebody came out and said, well, E.J. Manuel looked bad. He didn't look great. I will say this. He didn't look great today. But nobody in the offense really did. And you can just tell that's going to change. They've been to a million training camps. At this point, the defense is going to look a lot better for a lot of the reason that I said is they're tired of hearing about them getting roasted in these non-contact mini camps also.
Yeah. Steve Weiss is with us from the NFL Network. Steve, on the subject of E.J. Manuel, what do you think the ceiling is for him? How good can he be, and what will it take to get him there?
Well, it's hard to tell because, you know, E.J. was one of these guys at Florida State who was incredibly gifted, but, you know, you were always waiting for him to consistently be that guy, and it didn't happen. So could it have been the coaching? Could it have been some of the changes on the staff that they had? Could it have been some things that weren't designed to play to his strengths? You don't know that. So part of it's going to be, you know, Nathaniel Hackett designing an offense or at least a passing scheme that really highlights his strengths. He's got all the talent and the ability in the world. Now he's just got to put it together. They've got him some weapons. I mean, come on, Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins can have some ups and downs. But I think E.J. Manuel could be a good quarterback. But a lot of that's going to be up to him. There's only so many years you're going to get excuses in the NFL. I mean, you've got to put it together. You know, you don't want to be a guy like Josh Freeman, who all of those of us who've seen him play, has all the talent in the world, but hasn't put it together and is out of the league now. I mean, young. I don't think that's going to happen to E.J. Manuel, but, you know, he's got to continue to progress. He's got to continue to grow, and he's got to stay healthy.
Somebody asked me today if E.J.'s getting better or does Watkins just make him look good. And I thought to myself, well, that's kind of the idea with Sammy Watkins. That's why they invested so much in Sammy Watkins, isn't it, to make E.J. and the rest of them look good.
I tell you what, if Joe Montana didn't have Jerry Rice, would he be considered the greatest quarterback ever? I mean, I think we can say that about all the great quarterbacks. If Troy Aikman didn't have Michael Irvin, you know, if, you know, John Elway's one of the guys who didn't necessarily have a tandem of great receivers. But, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And today's passing game is different. You know, a few years ago, it was all about the big play, the guy who could connect on the deep ball, who could hit the deep post, who could hit the deep fly route. Now it's about the efficient play of quarterback, not turning the ball over. You know, that's what Russell Wilson did. You know, he had five or six games last year where he was under 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But look at his touchdown interception ratio, off the charts. You know, so it's the game has changed a little bit more. It's get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quicker. And don't make the turnover, and that's what coaches want, efficient play out of the quarterback. And I think that's more of what it's about. And that's what Sammy Watkins can do. He can take the short pass and take it 80 yards like Demaryius Thomas does for Peyton Manning, or he can catch the deep ball. You know, he's one of those guys who can hit every route, you know, short, intermediate, and long. And he's, like you said, that's the point. That's why they traded up to get him, is because he's going to help his quarterback.
Steve, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago about the talent on this roster. Where do you see this team as being talent heavy, and where might they be talent deficient going into the season?
Well, I like what they have all throughout the offense. I mean, you know, the offensive line, that's still been an issue, but they've got some players there. They've got to come together. They've got to figure some things out. Wide receiver, they've got some nice depth. I mean, adding Mike Williams, if he can come back from that hamstring injury, and that's a bad injury that he suffered. So it's going to take some time to see how he takes continued pounding on that. But you add that to young guys like Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins and some of the other depth that they have, their talent that they have. I mean, they've got some young guys who can really play. Running back, getting a guy like Anthony Dixon from San Francisco, I mean, he's a monster. He's a guy who can play fullback, tailback, special team standout. So I think offensively, they've got some talent now. It's just a matter of gelling and maturing. Defensively, you know, losing Kiko Alonso hurts. I don't think they're going to miss Terrence Bird as much. You know, he's a heck of a player, but I mean, we saw last year a guy like Denard Searcy step in and play well. Jim Schwartz is going to do some things differently. You know, he's not going to blitz as much. He's really going to count on the front four to be disruptive. So I think there is, you know, some potential issues at linebacker in terms of talent, but. You know, cornerback, I think Stephon Gilmore is continuing to come around. And, you know, the Bills have, I mean, you look at them on paper, like, they've got some players here. Can they just put it all together? And, you know, it's the division. The Patriots can't keep winning it every year. But the Jets look like they're going to get better, and the Dolphins look like they're going to get better. So, you know, that's the NFL.
And I was going to get to the rest of the division before we let you go. Where do you see that improvement in the Jets and the Dolphins? How are they getting better this year?
Well, you know, the Jets, they finally, you know, getting a guy like Eric Decker and getting a little help, you know, at the receiver position. They're stacked at running back. They didn't need to get more stacked. They were sixth in the NFL in rushing. The offensive line is fine. The Jets, they do have issues in the secondary. I mean, that's, you know, that's something that they've got to deal with. And the quarterback, I mean, I think Geno Smith is in the same position as E.J. Manuel. So, you know, these are things that you know, we have to judge. I mean, you look at, you know, the division, you still say, got to be the Patriots because of the quarterback situation.
Sure. Before I let you go, Steve, just one more question. You spent 2 days watching the Bills here at training camp at St. John Fisher College. Was there one guy or maybe a couple of guys who impressed you the most, either on the field or just talking to them after practice? I know you spent a lot of time doing interviews after practice. One or two guys that really kind of blew you away?
Well, I mean, in terms of being blown away, I mean, you have to really, I mean, I think everyone, you know, you look at Sammy Watkins, and he was just, you know, he's spectacular. He has the potential to be very special. You know, again, the depth of running back, I like I like a guy, again, I mentioned Denoris Searcy back there at safety. I like what he did last year when he stepped in and played. I think he's a guy who's going to continue growing. But the player I'm really keeping my eye on is Stephon Gilmore. I mean, now is the time. Again, he's coming back from injury, but what a talented guy. He's a big corner. And I thought he did pretty well today. I mean, the first time in pads, you know, I talked to a couple of DBs. They said they couldn't wait to get their hands on Sammy Watkins. He got his hands on Sammy Watkins and got a pick. So, yeah, I mean, the Bills, they've got a long way to go. Doug Marone said it. But having this extra preseason game, this extra week of practice, you know, that's something that will really help.
Hey, Steve, thank you. Good luck on your training camp tour. We thank you for being on the show with us tonight, and we'll be watching.
It was great. Thanks for having me on.